just before we start. Okay. So Shanae is going to keep, but I just wanted to read us this one scripture before we go in. And maybe for us, just, you know, don't get into receiver mode. Get more into like, oh God, I want to hear what you're doing. I know in the prayer meeting this morning, our hearts were stirred to not forget about the wonder who Jesus is. May we never lose our wonder. You know what happens? For those of you that drive the road every day from here into town, who of you, when you moved to Melkbos, or when you lived here and you drove and you saw that mountain for the first time coming around the corner there by Skilpies, what happened? Did you almost roll your car? I did, you know, because look at that mountain. Oh my goodness, how's that mountain? And every single day you go and you see the mountain, you see the mountain. 15 years later, I almost don't even see the mountain anymore. Because what happens? We become so accustomed to the mountain. We become so accustomed to something that is there all the time. And this morning, we don't want to lose our wonder with God being in our lives because he's with us all the time. So easy, we can forget what he has done in our lives. So this morning, we don't want to forget. We want to turn this morning to Jesus and say, thank you for what you have done. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks. And so as we hear this morning, let your heart already just go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And we celebrate with these guys, but even I know there's a couple of you that also can go, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Okay, let's close our eyes quick. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for who you are in our lives this morning, God. And thank you, Lord, that we can have precious souls this morning share their story about what you have done in their lives, God. So come this morning, I pray for each one of those sharing that you'll calm their hearts, you'll calm their nerves, and just as they share, that you would speak through them, Lord, and that we can see the testimony in their life and where they have been able to overcome the enemy, God. We honor you and we thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Cool. Thanks, guys. Okay, so obviously standing here is, or not obviously, but it's very scary for me. People always think because you lead worship, you're not afraid of speaking in public. It's completely different. Because when I get to lead worship, I'm singing most of the time, someone else's words and their chords and stuff. But here, I have to be vulnerable and be myself and be open to your whatever. So anyway, so the cool thing is that I actually have a lot of testimonies to share because God is so faithful. And that's really what I want to encourage you guys with is that he is so faithful. Like he comes through in every way and he takes every part of you and dissects it and then corrects it so that you become more like him. So what I'm going to share, just this testimony, is a very recent one about what Hannah's brought up is struggling with anxiety and worry. And so for like the past 2 or 3 years, I've actually gone through a lot of weird health stuff. I think everything was stress-related. And then quite recently, I went to a doctor, and she's like, do you want some anxiety tablets? And I was like, what? I don't have anxiety, obviously. And and then I realized, like, the Lord was really speaking to me about fear, like, for the past 2 or 3 years, just fear. And so I think a big part of that goes back to the fact that, like, I grew up without a dad. He died when I was a baby. And I don't think people realize how much it affects you to not have a parent. And I think there are a lot of people who can relate, even people in divorced families and stuff. And I actually explained it this way to someone the other day. I said, it's like growing up with a defect. You feel like you have a limp, like you have to use a crutch or something. So that's, I mean, it's a real thing, okay? So anyway, so that meant that I grew up with just having that missing part and then having a fear of the unknown because I was uncertain of myself. And then 2 weeks ago when we had prayer, and I was actually on the stage, and I was like, I want to be prayed for. It's really embarrassing, but yeah. So Barton came up to the stage and prayed for me and some other people as well. And so something I think everyone can relate to is the fact that even though you ask for physical healing, there's a spiritual or an emotional thing that has to be worked out. So, I mean, I'm nervous standing here now, but I can honestly say God has made such a difference, like, from that day, the prayer. So I thought I just kind of, so anxiety is a constant feeling of worry. And that reminded me of the scripture, Matthew 6, verse 25, which says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" And just coming to the realization that worrying about that stuff is actually sin, because you're not trusting God to look after you. At least I'm not saying like, you know. At youth, I'm like, guys. So I think a testimony of God's power for me is to actually share with you how I felt when I was prayed for. I felt that God was uprooting a lot of the stuff that's the cause of the anxiety. And then I just felt to shout yes. And guys, when people pray for you, it's embarrassing. And when the Holy Spirit does stuff, it's embarrassing. But just do it, because, who cares? You know, like, I'd rather do something crazy and have freedom than just, like, I'm okay. So I just went like, yes! And then Mariska prayed for me, and I was sitting down, and then I sort of started giving birth, so that's also kind of as I was like, and so she was praying for, like, promises to come into fruition. So I feel like, okay, that's the thing. And so the point is just listen to the Spirit and do it, And then I shared the scripture with Anel, because Anel and I sort of struggle with the same thing with leading worship. When we get up there, we're like, oh my gosh, why am I doing this? Oh no, I don't want to do this. I hate it. And so I shared the scripture with her in Isaiah 54, verse 4. Obviously, it's speaking to the Israelites, but I'm just taking it for myself. "Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace, for you will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth." So to close off, generally, just this past while, I'm more compelled to pray for people. I mean, our Tuesday morning prayer is, like, firing. Like, we just don't realize even how long we're praying. And, I feel more free. I feel I can be creative again. I'm more motivated. God's amazing. Praise the Lord.
Well done. Awesome. Well done, Shanae. Shanae's got to run out and go do kids' church now. So, yeah, there we go. Well done, Shanae. Isn't it amazing? Just, one touch. It reminded me of that lady with the issue of blood. And I just want to touch Jesus. If I can just have one touch. And look at a life being changed. And honestly, the things we've heard in the last 2 weeks since someone's prayed for her has been just incredible. So, yeah, well, awesome. That is so amazing. Cool. Tani Dalian. Was Tani Dalian? Welcome, Tani Dalian. Cool. So for you that don't know Tani Dalian, Tani Dalian's been with us for a while. This is Yolandi's mom. So Frederick and Yolandi, this is Yolandi's mom. And Tani Dalian is one of those, I think, behind-the-scene prayer warriors. We might not see her up front, She might still stage dive one day. That's cool, But just hear what God has been doing in her heart and in her life. She's going to speak Afrikaans, so translators, get ready, okay? So, but even if you don't, just hear what the Lord is busy doing in her heart. Amen.
Baie, baie dankie. Ek is baie opgewonde om vanoggend hier voor julle te staan
baie senuweeagtig, maar ek weet, God weet, ek moet kom getuig wat in my lewe gebeur. So bear with me. Verlede week sit ek in hierdie, en ek sit daar agter en ek dink, en Hannes begin te praat, en ek dink by myself, oh my word, iemand het van my stories by die mannetjie gaan aandra. Want, hy praat van my. Alles wat hy praat, dit is ek. En daar is drie woorde wat uitstaan in my lewe, wat hy gepraat het. Busyness, anxious, en Goliath. En weet julle, ek kan nou vandag vir julle sê, ek het nooit in my lewe gedink, ek sal die God sê om hier te kom staan en te getuig nie. Maar die Here gee so in my hart, ek is a caring person, ek hou daarvan om te dien, ek wil allemaal gelukkig om my sien, maar ook weet julle, betek ek ten koste van myself. En ja, weet julle, omstandighede betek jyre, veroorzaak dat jy dinge doen, buiten wat God wil jy moet doen. En ja, omstandighede in my leven, jylle ken vir my, jylle ken vir Frederik sy gesin, wat in ons leven ingaan, en partij daar is dit vir my soos een rollercoaster, op, af, good days, bad days. En weet jylle wat, het sondagse woord vir my geleer? Waar jy vulnerable is, daar takel die duivel jou. Hy kom soos die dief in die nacht. Hy neem van jou wat jy nie wil eindelijk gee nie, maar jy is onbewust daarvan. En wat doen hierdie tante? Ek raak besig in die huis. As dit nie goed gaan met Jolandi nie, dan raak ek besig. En laat ek vir julle vertel, kan hierdie girl besig raak? Min kan by my kers hou vast, hou 1 van 70, maar ek werk. Maar in elk geval, en ek luister en ek dink by myself, ja, en hoe besiger ek raak, hoe angstiger raak ek. Want ek meet Jolandi aan my emoties, of my emoties meet ek aan Jolandi. En wat gebeur? Ek raak angstig. En hy woord van, what if? Sien ek kans, as sy dalk iets oorkom, om na Daniel te kyk. Hy is 'n besig mannetjie. En weet julle, God gebruik vir my en ek bid. En ek bid, Here geef vir my kracht, geef, wat wil jy moet ek doen? En hy sê vir my baie duidelik, wees daar, wees oma. En ek kan vir julle sê, Daniel is vir my een feest. Hy leer sy oma klein dingetjies in die leven, wat jy lang al vergeet het. Leer hy jou raak sien. En ek gaan het met julle deel, waar jy gaan nou nie saam met my stem nie, maar ek dink dis klassiek, en ek het achter dit gekyk, of gekyk wat eintlik die doel was. Daniel hou van Adam en Eva. En elke keer as ons om of om lees, dan Adam en Eva, en hy hoor, hulle het sonde gedoen, hulle kry weg. En so kom oma een dag in die kamer, gone. No Adam, Eve, gone with the wind. En ek weet, ek besef onmiddellik Daniel, want hy is lief ek uitknip. En ek vraag van wat het jy gemaakt? Waar is Adam en Eve? Nee oma, hulle kry weg. Ek dink, okay. Ek sê, maar waar is hulle? Nee, hy het hulle uitgeknip, hulle is hier onder die bed. En ek dink vir myself, weet jy, hier moet God nou, en ek bid vir die Here wysheid. Dit gaan nie vir Daniel oor die boek wat hy vernietig nie. Die Bybel lê bo by sy kamer, op sy bedjie, en Adam en Eva, ek oma gaan vir Adam en Eva lei, maar hulle is bang, so hulle moet eindelijk bietjie wegkruip. So God geef jou wysheid deur alles deur. En ja, om terug te keer na my angstigheid, ek het toegelaat dat angst my lewe oorheers. En dit kom nie van God af nie. God gee nie vir ons een spirit of fear nie. Hy gee van ons een spirit van caring, loving, omgee, daar wees. Maar wat het ek toegelaat? Niemand anders te nie, wat het ek toegelaat? Ek het toegelaat, laat my emoties, een spirit van fear in my leven bring. En weet jy wat? Dit steel jou vreugde. En Goliath is die reus. Wat het hy gedoen met die Egiptenaar? Ach, met die Israëlieten. Hy het hulle angstig gemaakt, hy het hulle gemanipuleer. En dis wat ek toelaat in my lewe, of wat ek toegelaat het in my lewe. Laat hierdie reus in my lewe my kom manipuleer en my van alles ontneem. Want weet julle, hoeveel mense is bevoorreg soos ek, om saam met 'n gesin te bly? Ek sien my kleinkinders groot word. Ek kan vir hulle, deur my wysheid wat van God afkom, kan ek hulle leer. Verstaan jy? En ek kan daar wees vir Frederik, Jolani is nie altyd okay nie. Vir my is dit belangrik, my gesin moet uitgaan, werk toe, skool toe, met vreugde en 'n glimlag. Hulle moet vergeet, ons moet nie toelaat, laat siekte ons lewe oorheers nie, want daar is 'n God. God is daar vir ons, maar omstandighede laat ons baie keer ontspoor. Niemand se keuse nie, jou keuse, want die duivel is listig. Hy val ons aan, waar ons nooit sal dink, hy gaan ons aanval. So wat ek nou vandag vir julle wil sê, ek dank God, Hannes, ek het eers gedink, ja, okay, jy ken nie vir my so goed nie, ek weet van jou, jy weet van ouma Leen, maar dankie dat jy gehoorsaam is, en dat jy luister, en dat jy 'n boodskap oorgedra het, wat my lewe totaal verander het. En ek sê net dankie vir my aardse engele wat ek het, want ek kan praat met my vriende, en ek wil net daarmee afsluit, my vrees en alles, het my in die hospitaal laat beland. Wat het gebeur? Hoë bloeddruk? My dokter het vir my gesê, ek dink dit kan dalk 'n moontlike ligte strook wees. Maar deur genade is dit vertigo. Maar weet julle wat? Ek het dit op myself gebring. Want ek was in beheer. Ek het nie God toegelaat om te beheer my lewe te beheer. Om daar te wees vir my nie. So wat ek vandag wil vir julle vra, hoeveel reuse is daar in jou lewe wat verhoed dat jy werklik 'n verhouding met God kan hê. Luister na hom, hoor wat hy vir jou sê, gaan op jou knie, praat met mense, hou op opkrop en self net daar wees. God gee vir ons mense, hy gee vir ons vir julle, vir my elders. En ek sê dankie, baie dankie vir elkeen van julle en dankie ook dat ek Afrikaans kan praat. God bless julle almal. Dankie.
Wow, awesome. I just felt while Tannie DeLeon was sharing there, you know, and this morning we sort of going to go, okay, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? What are you doing? We don't want to just rush off to the next and miss a moment in God. Remember, often there's these moments in the Lord. And I felt when Tannie DeLeon was talking about Adam and Eve, for those of you that didn't understand, where Adam and Eve, her little grandson, cutting them out because they were always hiding because they were scared of God because of what they've done in their lives. And they were hiding. And how he hid them because, no, they did something wrong. And I felt this morning, maybe for some of us, we feel like you have to hide from God. You have to like, Lord, there's something not right in my heart. Something not right in my life. There's something I'm struggling with that I know is not right, but I want to hide. And you know what I want to say this morning? Don't hide, because that's the scheme of the enemy. He wants you to hide. He wants you to stay in the darkness. He wants you to be hidden away where people can't talk into your life. This week, we were at Dirk and Lisa's community. Sorry. It was probably the best community I've been in 14 years. Because there was a couple just repenting about things in their lives and coming to a community saying, this is who we are. Not hiding anymore, not standing back, saying, guys, we are sorry. And the reconciliation that happened that night, on Thursday night, it's one of the most beautiful things I think I've ever seen in my life. We couldn't stop praying for them. We were standing there, and then one person prayed, and the next person prayed, and the next person prayed. We called their kids, and we prayed, and we blessed them. I was in awe of what God was doing because they stopped hiding. So for you today, we're going to create a moment later where if you have to come out and say, I don't want to hide anymore. It's not that thing what Shanae said. The devil wants to make us feel ashamed, but it's not that. It's freedom and liberty if you come into the light with whatever you share, whatever you're dealing with. So just carry that. Take that moment even now. And choose in your heart, say, you know what, I don't want to hide anymore. just before we go on, just choose in your heart, say, God, I don't want to hide anymore. I want to make a choice today to step into the light. Amen? Cool. We've got the legendary Uncle John. Uncle John. So Uncle John, as Uncle John comes up, I've just been blown away with Uncle John. I met Uncle John the first time they did orientation at our house. And it was just beautiful seeing Uncle John come up and just wanting to learn more about Jesus and what they're doing. And for you that don't recognize, he's a little bit on the older side, you know, so a little bit, just a touch. But I want you, and a little bit shorter, yeah. But I want you to hear this morning, even at his age, what God is doing in his life. Amen? Go for it, Uncle John.
Thank you so much, everybody. It really is a pleasure to be here and to stand in front of so many friends that we have made in such a short time that we have been here in Melkbos. But first of all, how do we come to be here? We left Natal about a year ago, basically dragged out, kicking and screaming because we loved it there. But there'd been a lot of bad crime in the area where we were living, so our daughters who are living down here already at that time said, no, look, you've got to get out. So we came down here, and after a few months, we moved into a permanent accommodation. And at that point, we decided, well, look, we really need to find a permanent spiritual home as well. So we looked around, we visited a couple of churches, and although they were all fine, there was nothing that really fitted us, nothing that we really felt comfortable in. So we did what any good 80-year-old would do. We go Google it. So and guess what came up? Josh Jen came up. All right, he came up with a couple of venues, but as my wife doesn't like driving a lot on busy roads, she said, well, why don't we try Melkbos? It's just straight along the road from where we are at Bloberg. So we did that. We came in here one Sunday, probably, I suppose, 8 months ago now, and straight away we felt at home. We felt this was where we could make our home. And one of the first things that happened was that Frank came along and grabbed hold of us and said, you're coming to my Bible study. So so that was that. That was one thing settled straight away. No problem whatsoever. And then later on during the service, we just loved the praise and worship. It was something that you don't get in every church. Occasionally you might find it, but it's never something that continues. It'll just be one Sunday and then it'll disappear. But anyway, we started off after that first one, and very soon we got involved in the induction process, and we then realized that what Josh Jen says on their website is actually how they operate. It's not just advertising. It's not just making us look good. It is how they want to be and how they plan to be and how they operate in the way the Lord wants his church to run. And so this was another point that just put that nail in, saying, right, this is where we're going to be. So fine, we did. We went through the orientation, and during that time as well, we got to know a lot more of the elders in the church. We got welcomed into every home, and we really did appreciate, and we just want to say thank you to each and every one who made us so welcome at that time. It was really family, and that's how obviously it should be, but also equally obviously how it often is not. But we were so much a home, and each and every one of those homes, we were then inducted at the gathering and made an official part of Josh Jen. And we've never regretted that for one moment. We found that each and every week, not that the praise and worship had been a once-off. each week is actually got better. And we really, really loved that. And then when Frank and Bernice went overseas, he took the chance of allowing me to run the Bible study. I think he's still got the people left there, but but anyway, that he's got to get them back again if he hasn't. But we've enjoyed doing that. I haven't run a Bible study for many years, but it was lovely to get back into that again. And then last week, for the first time, I actually felt called to actually go forward and pray for somebody during a big meeting, a public meeting. I haven't done so for many, many years. I've sort of become more and more shy, more and more introverted. But last week I went forward and it was incredible to feel the Lord leading me. And I really, really thank you for inviting me forward then at that time to be able to do that and to feel the Lord working in and through me, as much in me as through me, because I needed that working in myself. I really did love that, and I know, Lord God, that you worked through me at that time. Then probably the biggest challenge was being asked to come up and speak today. Because, as I said, I've always been a bit introverted. I've not been one who pushes forward and speaks a lot in public. But I just want to thank Hannes for asking me to come forward and speak today. I really loved it, as I really loved my time in Josh Jen. And I can't say that I've ever made a better decision other than accepting the Lord into my life. Thank you so much, everyone.
Well done, Pastor John. Very good. Well done. Okay, I don't know how I'm going to go through the next two, but yeah, well, that's amazing, eh? That's amazing. Awesome, Uncle John. Steph, you want to come up quick? So after Steph, we've got one more testimony, and then we're going to see where God takes us. But let's just hear what God's been doing in this amazing couple's life.
Hi, everybody. So I'm really excited to stand here again. It's been a while, but it's, so for those who don't know us, I'm Steph. That's my beautiful wife back there, Ilza, with our little girl, our little girl is also a miracle, but we'll share that again sometime. So just to talk to you about what the Lord has been doing, let's call it in the past 2 weeks or so. I think two things, especially about the anxiety thing that Hannes has also shared about, especially in work, the Lord has really been dealing with me amazingly with that. And and in Psalm 46, it says that God is an ever-present help in trouble. And that has been quite some comfort when I get a bit jittery, just to relax, know God is with me, and then take it one step at a time. And if you see again, the task is done. But I'll focus on the other one first. Well, not first, but second. So what's happened in the past 2 weeks, I think something that was also on my heart is really to talk to people about God. And in the past 2 weeks, I had the privilege of speaking to two people who hasn't experienced God or really know Him or has actually, been in church for a really, really long time. And it's just been amazing. The one guy was at work. We have a prayer meeting every Wednesday afternoon, and the guy was about to resign. We did resign. The next day he would leave, and we could actually invite him. I told him, I dare you to come to the prayer meeting, because I think he said if he goes into church, he'll catch fire. So that was just really amazing to have him there. But what God's been talking to me about is actually just sharing my story. And I could go in and tell him what the Bible says from back to front, but it was just about sharing my story. And While I was busy sharing my story, the one thing the Lord dropped in my heart is just like, if I share my story, never leave out Jesus. Like, I mean, Jesus is part of the story, that's it. But to deliberately, in the story, talk about Jesus, what Jesus did and how he died on the cross, how he paid for my sins, and I can be free now. And then we also had the opportunity, we've been inviting another guy from our street to our house now and again. I think it's been about a year or so now, and we've been inviting him to church and doesn't want to come. And then Ilse said, hey, listen, we probably need to share the gospel with him ourselves then, if he's not going to come. So I invited him last week, and I was just praying, like, Lord, what do I say? Because I don't really know what to say. And that's not after sharing my story with the other guy. But I was sitting at work, busy working with some worship music playing. And just when I finished praying, a song came up from Big Daddy Weave, who just speaks about the song's name is My Story. And he just says, like, if I share my story, may you just your hope that wouldn't let go, and love that never gives up, and talk about a life that wasn't mine, and grace that's greater than my sins. If I tell my story, that you would hear Jesus in my story. And that was so encouraging. So we could actually share my story again. We haven't seen the fruit yet, but we're really trusting the Lord just in that the seed's been planted, and the Lord will send people to water it. So that's been really a blessing. What I want to say is I don't necessarily have a spectacular story of going through the pit of hell and getting out just on the other side. But the amazing thing is that Jesus came into my life. And I could hear Jesus. Jesus died for my sins. But then even after that, he actually spoke to me. And I could hear that there's a God out there who cares about me. And just sharing that is so significant in anybody's life out there to hear that. That's really just a blessing to know that we could share that story. There was one last thing that I wanted to share. I want to read Ezekiel 47 verse 8 to 10 quickly. It talks about the river that comes from the temple. And it says, he said to me, the water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Araba, where it enters the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, the salty water then there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be a large number of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. And just goes on of how much life there will be. And I just got this picture of how, when we share our stories, it is the fresh water that goes into the salt water, and where life will just, will be. So, go out and share your stories. And I just want to honor the elders also. I think Hannes, specifically for really, really taking the time to hear God's voice and touching these specific things that changes our lives, and all the elders supporting him. So, I just want to honor you guys for that.
Awesome. Isn't it amazing? You know, wherever we are, God meets us. You know, a deacon couple in the church, heading up the kids' church, but still God's busy working on their lives. You know, and then where other of us on worship, or someone just joined us for 8 months, or whatever it is, God is busy with each and every one of us, wherever we are. So keep that in mind. God, what are you busy doing in my heart right now? What is it? Yuan, do you want to come up? So Yuan, Yuan's going to share with us. Yuan and Marilise, come up. That's cool. So just to quickly, you guys also, how long have you been with us now?
8 months.
8 months. Okay, here we go. You see, there's something about 8 months. If you joined 8 months ago, you should probably be sharing, you know. So, no, I'm joking. Sure. But just for you, they also been here for 8 months. He's very comfortable in this setting, because he actually goes to school here. I'm joking. He teaches the kids at school here. He's already done with school. So yeah, but Johan, I just want them to share their hearts, and then from there we're going to see where God's going to be taking us. So open your hearts to them. Also going to share in Afrikaans. I said they're more than welcome to. They might skip between Afrikaans, English. So, but just pick up what God's been doing. So yeah, go for it, eh? Go for it.
Good morning, guys. This is probably the weirdest thing because we're so used to talking in front of children or kids that, but again, in front of adults, it's a little bit harder. I don't know why. Joel, Keaton, you can probably testify about that. I can't shut up in class, so it's fine. Okay, yeah, like we said, we arrived here 8 months ago, and yeah, I'm probably going to cry, so it's fine. yeah, and me and Hannes, he invited me a couple of times, always late, to his favorite watering hole, the heart. So yeah, we had a couple of times, and this one time I just opened up and I told him, I'm not growing. I'm feeling I'm with all these awesome people in the church that is absolutely 100% committed, and I'm not growing. Why am I not growing? And he gave me a couple of reasons. Some of them I didn't really like. and yeah, the one was that they felt that me and Marlies living together may be one of the things that is not, well, that is hindering us from not getting where we should. So after a lot of crying and cursing and not liking Hannes very much, we decided to give it a go. And yeah, we prayed about it, and I think it was 2 Sundays ago. Yeah, it was. I didn't really listen to anything anyone said. I was just crying the whole time. So, but yeah, because it was a big thing for us. And then God, Hannes and Carlitz also, they really talked to us, and they really they spoke that we really must try this. And okay, we did it. Okay, and like God says in 1 Peter 1 verse 2, he says, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. And I cannot tell you how much we've felt it over the last 2 weeks. Okay, like I said, oh my, it's just amazing. Then we decided, to move, I decided to move out, and luckily God blessed us with these amazing friends that we have. And I think they're probably some of the best people I've met in my life. You know who you are. And and I've been staying there for 2 weeks, wrecking their home, but anyway. So and then last week, was it last week that Brendan mentioned that we have to spend a little bit more time, you know, you have to put more effort in and spend time with God. And after the last 2 weeks, I've really tried that, and the amazing work that God has done through me, it's just, or in me rather, let's say in me, has been absolutely amazing. Okay, so we are looking to get married at the end of the year. So finances is a little tight because we said, okay, we're going to stay together, and then we are going to maybe end of next year. But now, because I miss her so much, we want to get married. So finances, Hannes and Carlitz and all the people we know our financial stuff. And at this moment, we're not really there. But after we've done what we've done, it's just amazing how God has opened amazing doors. It's just, praise to Jesus. You know, it's just, it's amazing that people come up to us and just say, you know, this and this and this. And it's, and that is the, it's brilliant. Last week, I don't know if it was Uncle John, but it wasn't Uncle John. Guys, I can't, I don't want to talk down to other churches because, that's not, I was raised every Sunday, never missed a Sunday. But I was in Engel Kerk, and you know, you give your life to God, but there's no substance. I'm sorry to say it, but there was no substance for me. And last week, so I always stand there when worship is there, and everyone comes up, and I stay there behind my chair because I can't lift my hands because I'm an Engel boyki, you know. And I've been really trying to grow and grow and grow. I've been praying to God, just let me try this. And then last Sunday, I think I had the most amazing experience in a church ever. So I came to the front, and I was asking God, please just let me do this. Just let me do this. Just help me. And I told Anas the other day that I believe that if you bow your head in front of God, it's easier to pick up your hand. It was amazing. And then I think Barent asked if there's someone that really wants to feel the presence of God. And I just thought, you know what? I want to. I really, really want to. And I came up here, and it was just Uncle John, the God worked through you amazingly. Because, for the first time ever, I just felt the total presence of God. And, I think after church, I immediately sent Hannes and Carlos a message, and I said, yes, this was freaking amazing. It was like I had a holy buzz for at least 3 days. it was just like God, someone put a hand on my shoulder and just pushed me down onto my knees. And then, I think my heart rate was probably 200 because, and I actually don't want to feel that every Sunday because I don't think a human body can manage that every Sunday. Because that was just, it was freaking amazing. I just want to share this with you, and I'm really, and spending time with God every day, I think us being apart gives us a little bit more time actually to find God and to spend time with God. And I think at the end of the day, when our journey is done and when we get married, I think we're going to find God together and then just work with us. So. Yeah.
Right, so... it was, I think, the Sunday that we decided he's going to move out. I think people were looking at us and like, are you crazy? You're like crying the whole service. And it was just like, we've been living together for 2 years. So like making that decision not to be with each other, like 24/7, we work together. We go to gym together. We literally do everything together. So and he said, how is it that someone that God sent me is hindering me to grow? And I told him, like, if you are in any way more reliant on me for comfort than God, then I'm hindering you to grow. And the first time that Hannes told him that we need to move out, he was just like, nope, not gonna happen. And I spoke to Luanne, and she said, we're going to pray for a softening of his heart. And about 2 weeks later, he said, okay, let's do it. And I'm like, wow. And the Monday that he moved out, I got in contact with a designer that I've been working with previously as a bridesmaid. And I told her a little bit of the story. And she said, I really want you to come and meet me. And that Monday, I went to her and she said, I want you to have a custom dress. And custom dresses to hire is like 10,000 Rand. And she said, you tell me what you have. I will make a dress for you, custom for you. And I don't know how many of you know how much photographers cost. She said her husband is a photographer. We are on the same basis with that. And it's just amazing how God has been working through us. And like Tani Dalian said, the devil is so, he is so like anxious about the powerful things that God is doing in our lives. So he is attacking in any place that we feel vulnerable. So we are still trusting for a venue. We are trusting for all of these things. And I told Anel, I'm so demotivated. Like after yesterday, we went to a decor shop and there was nothing that I liked. And I was just like, are you serious? Wow. I'm like, are you serious? Like, this is what I've been planning, and me and my sister are planning for this, and it's not happening. And I told her now, because I'm putting my trust in people. And it's really just that constant saying that, God, we trust in you. We are not trusting in people to come through for us. God is going to come through for us. And yeah, we're really just trusting for that, and we really hope that our testimony will be able to touch so many hearts.
Yes, isn't God good? Hey, it's amazing, absolutely amazing. That's the thing with the Lord. We sometimes think we know best, and what makes in this world so much economical, and it makes sense on so many levels, but God's ways are different to our ways. His ways are not our ways, but when we do act in obedience and say, yes, Lord, I'll trust you, I'll obey you, look at what happens. God comes through. And yes, their wedding's going to be amazing, but more than that, what's happened in their hearts is the biggest thing ever. Because what does it help us gain this whole world? Everything, but we lose our souls. And I think that for me this morning is the key to what we've heard here, is God is changing hearts more for him. In Revelations 12:11, it says, they triumphed, or they overcame him, Satan, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, and we know Jesus died on the cross for us, for our sins, for everything that we have done wrong. He died on the cross for us. He took it all upon himself. What we did, he took it upon him. And we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And this morning we heard words, testimonies of people's lives being changed. And I know there's more. I know each one of you can say, I've got a testimony. I've got something to say. But I felt this morning, just in this moment, where Johan said, hey, I was an Enkia boyki. I went to church. I did all these things that I think is right. I did all these good things. Lived the best life I could. But he actually said he felt for the first time that Jesus touched his heart and felt the Holy Spirit in the presence of God. And in that moment, and I don't want to leave here today without creating a moment. Before the kids are going to come in, I want us, this morning, we heard so many testimonies of what God has done. And for each one of us, I think we can relate to something. Think back of what Shanae shared. Anxiety, struggling, going through things. Uncle John just saying, I felt family. Have you felt family? Have you given yourself like they did to being part of the family? Stephen Eels and them stepping out, going into and saying, I want to share my testimony. I want to share. And then Johan and them just coming saying, Lord, we want to obey you. It's going to cost us probably everything, but we want to obey you. And while the band, they can come up so long, I really just feel in this moment for us to consider these words, to consider our hearts. Where are you with God this morning? Is there something you've got to obey the Lord in? Is there something you've got to give up, a giant that you've got to overcome? A letting go of a thing, something you're holding on to, a fear? And I want us this morning just to take a moment in that. And again, don't be an Adam and Eve hiding away this morning. Don't hide away. And it's not for us. Honestly, who cares what we think? Who cares? But he cares. Jesus cares. God cares this morning. So can we close our eyes quickly, all of us? And I do feel this morning that God doesn't want to, he never wants to embarrass us. But he wants us to step out into the light and into the things that he has for us. And this morning, maybe it's not even related to what anybody has said, but you just feel, I have to respond. I have to respond to the Lord because he's been doing things in my life and in my heart. And I have to respond to him. And in a moment, we are going to respond in song and worship and praise and lift his name up and say thank you for what he's done. But before we do that, I want us to look at our hearts and say, God, I need to let it go. I need to come and give my life maybe to you again. And I want to give each and every one of us that opportunity. So if that is you, if you need to respond to the Lord this morning and say, but more than that, I need prayer. I need someone just to pray with me, to lead me in a prayer that I know that I truly can feel and experience the Lord and know that I'm going to go to heaven. If that's you, don't you want to slip up your hand? Just say, that's me. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Just going to take a moment. We don't want to rush things. But we want to celebrate life this morning. And what God says, life and life in abundance. Is there anybody else? I maybe ask just one or two of the deacons or the leaders, if you guys can maybe just pray with this gentleman. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. You can come.
Thanks, guys. I love it. Responding to the Lord.
Yeah.
You guys pray with them, and if the kids can start coming in. And this morning it is. It's a morning of thanksgiving. And of excitement for what God is doing. You know what? Right now, just thought of it, the angels are rejoicing in heaven.
Yeah.
Do you know that? That right now the angels are going crazy for one soul that has returned. No matter what it is, if it's a moment in like, God, I want more of you, or if it's I'm giving my life to you for the first time, people are responding to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Can we just take a moment, say thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
As the kids come in, the kids, you guys can come to the front. The adults are going to stand up. We're going to come to the front as well. We want to take this morning and we...